appraisal range and what you want. Is that an engine? In the book of Philippians, we continue to go this way. Chapter 1, verse 12 goes to follow. Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it became clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else who I am in chains with Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they are all the more proclaiming the gospel without fear. What God does to fear us in our beliefs, knowing that Christ is our Savior, that He has sent the Holy Spirit to guide and guard us. One day, if we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us and testify before you in the day of judgment. Father God, give strength to us in our decisions, activities that we make, actions that we take, things that we can bless our bless those who have lost loved ones and building around his family. And his skip is into the hospital death test and all those who need other ones in the test. Bless our nation, Father, that the right people make the right decisions. We may stand strong and able to continue to support actions that you need to be able to protect our church. Not everyone who has done something good gets rewarded for it immediately. Quite often, people either misread our intentions or don't like what we stand for, what we have said, what we have proclaimed, and therefore will turn against us. 1/3 of all the United States, well, all the colonies at that time, were British sympathizers. 1/3 were American rebels, that we were called, and the other third just went along with what went along, and they didn't care. Too often, we don't make a decision because we're afraid what everybody's going to say about us. Now, we would like to blame that just on teenage girls and boys. And they do everything to be a part of the crowd. You know that's not true. Haven't you ever thought, you know, if I wear that today, will somebody think I'm just a copycat of what I've seen on television? If I wear that today, will they think I'm ridiculous? I know the sun hadn't been out in 4 days, it's been raining, but I've got to wear a sundress. And we doubt ourselves because what we think everybody else is going to say. Hey, when I grew up, if you had an old Russian Ford pickup truck or Chevy truck or Dodge, you were the king of the world. Nowadays, they won't even let you in some parking lots. Because you don't look like your finances. Or you park at the far end of the Walmart parking lot, so somebody won't laugh at you. And we're worried about what other people are saying about us. Let me tell you, Mr. Paul did not care. Mr. Paul writes to the Philippians while he's in jail. And you know what crime he committed? He talked about Jesus. He wouldn't accept all the false gods, even the Roman rulers who declared that Caesar declared themselves as gods. Because he went against what was the popular thing to do, they didn't like him. Beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, isolated, run away, run out of towns and all, and in jail several times. Yet that did not stop him. Because he knew he was right. And the measurement of what everybody else thought didn't matter because he knew he was right. And it should not make any difference to us today what the rest of the world is doing when we know we are right. Now, how do you know right and wrong? They all know. If you were fortunate enough to be brought into a church home, you had the guidance. If you did not have the fortune to be brought up in a church home, you still have the guidebook today. It hasn't changed. And it gives it. You start with the Ten Commandments, the Ten Rights and the Ten Wrongs. Thou shalt not put it all the way through. A young man told me the other day, he wanted to start reading the Bible, and he was so confused. Everybody picked up Genesis, and he got to Exodus, and they got the number, and he just died. I said, "You're right. Don't do it about that. Put it in the book of John and find out about the love of God." Because I do believe, in the third chapter, the 16th verse, and we hear a little bit about, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall never perish. That's the love of God. That's the love of Christ for us. The love of us. Paul says right here in verse 12, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters." Now I know that anybody in here today is a physical brother or sister of Paul. Paul had been dead 1900 years. You would be really old if you were. But he means that in the truest sense. We're brothers and sisters because we have the same Father. His name is Jehovah. And we come through the same tribe. His name was Abraham. Now, you may not have Jewish DNA in you. There's a wonderful thing called adoption. And if you're not born a Hebrew, a descendant of Abraham as a Jew, you still can be adopted into the family of God. They are saints. So, well, I'm a part of the family of God. And for all Christians, we are a part of the family of God. It's a blessing for us. Bought and paid for on Mount Calvary near 2000 years ago. So Paul was saying, what's happened to me has been good. They heard I'm in jail. I'm a prisoner, and yet I continue to teach. Don't be afraid. Now tomorrow, big day, our twins are going to real school for the first time. They're kindergartners. And the tall one is shy, just like me. No, I'm sorry, like that. The little short one is a bulldog, she's like me. I'm afraid that Olivia is going to have to talk for Madeline for the first week or two. Because Madeline's afraid to make a noise in front of me. She's timid and kind and a little shy. I'm hoping she'll get over it. I'm hoping she'll get one of those "I can't stop talking" jokes. Okay. But she's got to get out of the seeing that her sister and the other kids are good will be good for her. And sometimes we have to see success of people who are in the gospel, who are in the Lord, who are in the Spirit, and realize that it can be done and we can be successful, even though the world is against us. There were several people in the news this week, and I told the Sunday school class, and they said they're tired of hearing about our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Well, what else can we do besides pray? We weren't able to jump in front of the gunman and stop him. We pray for the family and of the lost one and the souls of the lost ones. That's what we can do. That's what Paul thinks about. They were charged up because he was in chains. He was prison. As a result, it became clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone that I'm in chains for Christ. He had a purpose. They didn't put him there for stealing bread, like in the play of the Miz. They didn't put him there for jaywalking. They didn't put him there for a lot of things that our people get incarcerated for. They put him there because of Jesus. And you know, he could have gotten out easily. All he would have done is, "I denounce Jesus. I don't want to be a part of Jesus. It's not worth the effort. My friends are dying and I will too, so I give up." But Paul could have done that, but Paul loved God so much and he was so desirous to serve Jesus, he would not do that, and other people gained from him. And we can still today to see that his dedication should be our dedication, and there's no obstacle that gets in the way that we should allow us to stop serving Jesus. Paul did it even to death. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You may have been around. You're young. You've never ridden a bicycle before. But some of your friends are trying to show you how to ride a bicycle. Before long, take the plunge. After you fall down, they probably laugh at you, but they help you get back up. You do it again, you begin to be confident because others have done it before. And in our Christian walk, we will fail from time to time. There's no doubt about it. Paul called himself chief among the sinners. That which I do not wish to do, I do, and that which I wish to do, I do not do. There is no guarantee that Christians will be, matter of fact, there's a promise that they will not be perfecter than they do. They'll just be forgiven. And all that's happened in the past and all that's in the future shall be wiped away. He goes on. We gain confidence when we don't have fear. Fear is paralyzing. There's thousands and thousands of people seeing doctors or institutions because they were paralyzed by fear. They didn't believe in themselves, and a lot of people just can't believe that God could love them enough. Be careful. We can't be that way. We've got to trust him. Now, it's true, he says, that some preach, not babies, that some preach Christ out of envy or rivalry, and others out of good. There were fake preachers in those days, like there are today. They try to trick you or tell you things that sounds good but don't hold true. Don't fall for that. Let me tell you. I'm not going to tell you anybody's name or anything, but there's a person in this congregation or another that fell for a scam on the computer. Did you not? Well, you're a perfect example of it. The guilty dog was barked first. Has anybody else fallen for one of those computer scams? Somebody calls you up, try to talk to you, give you this number, give you that number. They're all over the place. Never give out information that you wouldn't want the whole world to know about. If you put it on the computer, the whole world knows about it. And even though you may be able to straighten it out, it still hangs on your head. Lost my good for about 3 years ago. Called, I thought, canceled everybody before I could. I had charged 100 outhouses to a firm, I'm kidding you not, to a firm up in Wisconsin. Number one, I've never been to Wisconsin. Number two, I've never used 100 outhouses. They counted it when I told them it was wrong. It was called by somebody that was in California. Somebody got my debit card and sold it to somebody in California, and they ordered in these outhouses. They probably got kicked back, and that's how it goes. But you can be very careful. The ones who know it's right before you do it. Did that fear me so much that I don't care if it's a very important one? But I don't buy any others. The latter has done so out of love, knowing that I am put here on the fence of the gospel. He stood for the gospel. He didn't get in. And when all the world around him was going to get in, he would not do it. The old ones, the former ones, preach out of ambition, selfish ambition, not sincerity. If you hear a speaker, and I don't care if it's church, it's on the radio, whether it's a news advertisement, whether it's a politician or something, and when they say something that doesn't sound right, check it out. Don't fall for it. Because there are a lot of false gospels going around today. That's why we read from the Bible and talk about what it says. They're backed up by the writers. Don't fall for it. Not sincerely. Supposedly they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. He's in jail for Jesus, and they're still trying to punish him. They were afraid of him. If people pick on you, they're probably afraid of you, or envy you, or wish they were you. So they can't lift themselves up, so they try to push you down so they stand above you. Don't give in to that. Hold strong and firm. My family intention growing up, after Greg and I got married, we intentionally had dinners on Sunday nights. What do we do on Sunday nights? Church. So we didn't get to go to any anniversary parties, birthday parties, or anything. Well, you can just skip one time or another. No, we couldn't. Because we were either youth sponsors or youth ministers. When we chose what was the right thing to do, he was the really good. If you can miss just one time, you better go. No. You don't let people talk about something that you know is right. Paul says, the important thing is that in every way, whether the false motives or true, Christ is preached. We talk about Jesus. Because of this, I rejoice. Paul says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provisions, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, will turn up in my prayers. All the time, he was beaten, ridiculed, mocked, in prison, in chains. They say in some places he was such a valuable prisoner that there would be a guard on each side. And his legs would be chained to their legs, and his arms would be chained to their arms, so they could not. Paul said, it's okay. Because God is willing to make it okay. Either on this earth or in the time of the report. So when the world seems to be against you and everything you try to do is right, don't let him burn you down. I'm going to tell you my opinion. This is White's opinion. I'll look here. I'm opinion over here. I do believe the times are going to be worse. I believe the devil is going to get more and more active. We're going to hear more wars and rumors of war. Joe, you keep saying, yeah, I'll talk for 30 minutes. Because the devil knows he's losing. And, oh, that's not, yeah. And in sports term, he's putting on a full court press to try to break all Christians down so that God doesn't get all his souls. Don't let that happen to you. Yes, we can be disappointed. Yes, we can be despondent. But let us not let the world control our motives and moods, our actions. Let us not be paralyzed by fear, but strengthened with joy. Knowing God is with us. Knowing that He that is within us is greater than He that is within the world. No matter how strong Satan seems, folks, you cannot turn on the news without getting something bad somewhere else or even at home. Yet, don't give up. That's what Paul is saying. He didn't. He doesn't want us to. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through the prayers and God's provision of the Holy Spirit, God is with us. It may not seem that way, but He is, because He loves us. Just like He said, a young parent would care for a little one. He cares for us. Let us never forget that. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed to suffer or encourage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body. We're the sermons that Jesus doesn't preach anymore physically, but through us in our lives. We spoke of Ruth and Naomi this morning in Sunday school. Through the life that Naomi lived and taught, Ruth learned to grow in love with the Jewish nation and with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to grow that way as well. If I go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Paul says, if I die, I'm in heaven. If I live, I get to work here. There was a book, a play, about Robinson, his name was. His name was Frank Stockton, his name, written in 1882. It's called A Lady in the Line. Anybody read that in junior high school? Commoner fell in love with Sultan's daughter. That was not to be. When the Sultan found out that this man was dating his daughter and wanted to run away with her, he was captured. Take him down and put him in a big pit. The soldier says, there are two doors. You choose which one that opens. Behind one door is an unfed tiger, starving and raving and bloodthirsty. Behind the other door is a maiden. Not my daughter, but another woman. Whichever one you choose, you shall get. He looked up to his loved one. She raised up one of her hands. In his mind, and then she wanted him to live, to share his life with another woman, or did she want him to not live without her? We need to know. He You know how the story ended?
Right there.
You decided, well, you got to choose. Did you move the princess, the lady, or the king? You have to make decisions. I like a little better the story. It's a lot more acceptable back in the 60s. The fellow was in the Monte Paul called Let's Make a Deal. You remember? Door number one, door number two, or door number three? One would usually be a docking, a bale of hay. One would be an umbrella. And the third would be a brand new car. Whichever door we pick, you know. Well, we have a choice of picking a door every day. One says the broad path, the easy path, the way of having your own way and having fun. The way we need to help. The other one is a narrow path. At times a difficult path. But it leads to Jesus into heaven. And it is our daily choice to do that. And that's what we have to decide. I'm torn between the two. I'm desiring to depart and be with Christ, which is better far off, but it's more necessary for me to command to heal the body. I'm choosing the hard thing. Because you need me, he says. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith. I don't do what I want to do because I want to do what's the best for all. Leonard Nimoy. Remember Leonard Nimoy? That was 20 years. Mr. Spock. He used to call it Dr. Spock. That's another guy. Mr. Spock. And in that first show, that very first movie, the Enterprise was going to be destroyed by the end of the explosion. Nimoy went in and exposed himself to radiation. And he stood against a glass wall talking to Jim and Kirk. Something like this, Jim. It is better for the death of one than the death of many. Well, that's why Jesus said on the cross, it is better for my death on the cross of Calvary than the loss of all the sins because of the sins of the people of the world. And he was willing to do that. That is true sacrificial love. I mean, that's not putting in $5 as the plate goes by. That's not ringing the bell for salvation on the one day. All of these things put together because we love Jesus, we can't do just much. It's a continual lifestyle of giving up what seemed to be so important to us, letting go. Jesus. What's the hymn of invitation?
It's 500.
500. I do believe I know that song. Let me make sure.
Almost.
Probably a mistake. It says 500 or 200. You've got it marked. I don't even know it. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems some now, soul will say, go, Spirit, go that way. The last verse. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost persuaded. Cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. And oh, sad that bitter wail. Almost but lost. You see, Paul is pleading the case before the government. There before Felix, he heard Paul's testimony, not the Jews of him. Felix said, Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to become Christian. Well, the problem was he didn't do it. So that's the point about almost and lost. I don't want us in our lives to have regrets of things that we knew we should have done, wanted to do, would have been happy to do, but we just kept putting it off until we didn't do it anymore. Oh, that's a good word. Almost a loss. In every race, there's a winner. In your second, third, involved in any type of competition, you're the winner. There's the ones who finish first, second, or first, third, whatever it is. Christianity is not one of those winners. We're all winners. It's a short winners. It is that simple. You do not have to read through the Bible 10 times. You do not have to memorize the 10 commandments. You do not have to know all the apostles' first names or all the copies of this one. Romans chapter 9. But I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. No exception. And with that knowledge, with that confession, with that faith of the scripture, take the baptism. That I want to say.